The words that I speak would be the words that come straight from your heart. I'm just a man with unclean lips, Lord. I have nothing to offer any of those sitting in these seats here before me. But you've called me to a place such as this for a time such as this, Lord, to speak forth the word of God. I pray that the anointing rests upon me. I pray that the words that I speak and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing in your sight first and foremost, but that the people would have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to this church. Specifically, not just to hear and to leave and for it to fade away as one that looks their face in a mirror and forgets what they look like. But Father, that they would hear this message and leave this place, Lord, and go and disciple and mentor and be a part of what you want to do on earth as it is in heaven, God. I pray these words are straight from your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're obviously talking about the anointing. We've been speaking. I first spoke on the Holy Spirit. We did a series on the Holy Spirit, on the third person of the triunity of God, who the Holy Spirit is, how the Holy Spirit operates in us, what He wants to do through us. And then we've tackled the anointing, which is that power that the Holy Spirit does offer us. It's that part of God's DNA, His character, His nature that He places within us supernaturally when we come to Christ as our Lord and Savior. It literally becomes His Spirit, part of our spirit, and our whole nature and our whole demeanor and our whole way of living changes. Now, we can come against that and suppress that by an act of our own free will, or we can yield to it and empower us to do great things that He says that we could never do on our own. Do you understand that? You have the potential to come underneath an anointing that is so powerful that it can change the world, like Paul. You're no different than Peter or Paul or the rest of them. But we also have the potential to quench that Holy Spirit by simply going after things in the world, the things that please us, the things, the bells, the whistles, the lights, the smoke, all the things that the world has to offer that really ministers to us, instead of realizing that when we come to church, our first and foremost job is to minister unto Him. It's to come and praise and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one of the ways we worship Him is by yielding to Him and allowing His power to act through us Monday through Saturday. It's the unity, it's the tightness, it's the close family that comes together, each with our own gifts, coming together to give us a good full picture of what Jesus is like. Because none of us alone has what all of Jesus has. He's got it all to offer, but He chooses certain gifts to put on certain people to empower us so that we will work together. Because if just one person had it, we'd have pulpit ministry. And that's what happens a lot, is you get pulpit ministry in churches instead of body ministry, where we each are a brick on the wall, we're a part of the solution, and when we're empowered, we do just that. That's what the anointing's all about. You acquiring it, getting before God and wholeheartedly opening yourself and yielding yourself to it, and then allowing Him to actually operate that, to let it flow. So we're studying the acquiring and the flow, how to get it and how to flow in it with the anointing. And so today we're going to discuss crossing the Jordan. Remember we said that to acquire the anointing, you just don't get saved and all of a sudden you're ready to preach, teach, lay hands on the sick and do all these things, because we still got our old life in there that needs to be transformed, if you will, you know, metamorphosized, if that's a word. We need to go from that caterpillar to a butterfly, and it takes time to get rid of our old stinking thinking and to get God's DNA, God's character, nature. As we read about it, as we fellowship with one another about it, it begins to get in here, because now it can be received. Before, when we read it couldn't be received when you're not saved, because what? You don't have the capability of that. The Holy Spirit, you know, your mind is saying this is foolishness. But when the Holy Spirit gets in there and says, yep, when you become weak, God becomes strong. When you get down on your knees, God exalts you. Everything that the world thinks, we're the opposite. And that's what makes Christians weird. Because God didn't make this kingdom for you. He made it for Himself. This world is not our own. We're part of heaven. So we better start getting the character and nature of God in and through us. And part of that is to go before God in prayer. It is reading God's word. It is fellowshipping with mature saints. It is doing those things that really bring out the anointing in us. And the stops that we talked about so far, we're using Elijah and Elisha as our example in the Bible. Because remember, Elisha says, I want a double portion of what you have, Elijah, that anointing that you've got. And we'll talk about that another time too, of what that double portion actually means. But he was so hungry for it, he followed him everywhere. Elijah said, I'm going down here to Gilgal. Follow me, stay close, stick to me, set here, enthrone yourself in this place, and learn the lesson of Gilgal, which is what? the lesson of the cross, coming to Christ as Lord and Savior. Then he said, now we're going to Bethel. That's the place what? Where we, anybody remember? Where we grow, where we mature. Actually, that's the next place, but actually it's a place of intimacy. Now that we've come to God, I'm saved. Somebody led me through a prayer like what we did to the guy in a chair, Doug. Now what do? I don't know this God in whom I've just given my life to. I know that he's provided a place for me eternally to be with him because I can feel it in my heart now. The Holy Spirit's come, but who is he? I've got to become intimate with him. I've got to know who he is, what he expects of me, what he wants me to do, how he wants me to relate to him. It's kind of like walking into a brand new place you've never been before, and everybody's going about their business, doing things in the kingdom, and you're walking in going, where do I go? What do I do? Where do I sit? How do I... God wants to know you. He wants you to know you better. He wants you to know what he's placed within you so that you can operate and do the things that he's called you to do. That's Bethel. That's a place to go and to become intimate with God. Get to know the one that you just got saved with in Gilgal. And then what to do? Elijah took Elisha down to Jericho. Jericho is where those men were ashamed. The world was coming against them. They had their beards shaved half off. And if you know anything about Israel, when your beard's shaved off by the enemy, or when they lowered their pants down to their waist and stuff like that, that's shameful. It's disgraceful. And so these men allowed those guys around them to overcome them. And so what did David say? Stay there in Jericho until your beards become full. Grow. Mature. Develop your spiritual walk here. Get strong in the Lord. Let your fruit grow from grapefruits to watermelons. If you go to Jericho, that's what happens. Grapefruit are the size of watermelons. It's a fruitful place. It's a place of growth. So you know what God does. He's using an analogy for us. He's saying, before you come to the Jordan, which is what we're talking about, get saved, get to know the God in whom you serve, and get to know yourself. Then develop and grow the fruit of your life. Begin to minister and understand how to operate in the things that God is showing you. And then he says he took them to Jordan, which is where Elisha had to make the decision. Do I cross over Jordan into the promised land? Remember, Jordan was the entry place into the promised land that God promised the Israelites, where they no longer had to live by miracles. Now they were going to live by planting their own seed and developing fruit and growing and maturing and living off the land. And so all the school of the prophets, remember all those guys that were in the background? See, Elisha was just one of all those prophets. All the rest of the prophets stood from afar, wouldn't go near the Jordan to cross over. But Elisha stuck close to Elijah and said, wherever you go, I go. Remember Ruth? But she said to Naomi, I don't care where you go, I know God's with you, I'm going with you. I'm not leaving your side. I don't care if you go up, down, east, west, north, south, I'm following you because the anointing's on you, I'm following. And so that's exactly what Elisha did, and Elijah crossed the Jordan. And when Elisha crossed the Jordan, he realized there was no going back. The old life, old Israel, my old ways, forget it. I'm stepping into the newness of my anointing. I want my inheritance. Elijah, give me what you have so that I can operate in this new land that I'm living in a powerful way. Do you get that analogy? You leave your old life behind and you begin to develop your new life. You grow and you mature and then you make the decision, God, I'm fully and wholeheartedly yours. I'm not going to let the world influence me anymore. If you say go, I'll go. And I want a double portion of all that. I want to be able to call down fire from heaven. I want to be able to raise the sick. I want to be able to raise up the lame. I want to be able to see the blind see. I'm not doing that on this side of the Jordan. Some of you can prophesy, some of you can dance and sing, some of you are saved, and that's all fine and dandy, but that's not what gets you that great anointing. It just gets you to heaven. If you want to operate and be powerful on earth, you got to take steps forward. You got to mature, you got to grow, you got to get off milk, you got to get on to maturity. That's our walk. That's why you got to be in a church where you're going to grow and you're going to walk and you're going to mature, you're going to grow your beard, you're going to bear fruit, and then the anointing's going to come and you're going to do things that you couldn't do and couldn't possibly do in your own strength. But you'll never experience that. And I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven. Sure, you can just sit in church and, you know, there it is. And get saved because you trust Jesus, your Lord and Savior. We're saved by faith. But never grow. Never mature. Never experience eating that big old watermelon. I better start my message or you guys will be here for a long time. I can't help it. It's always a good preview because we have to know where we're at in the story as we preach it. We talked about Elijah and Elisha getting to the Jordan and Elisha making the choice to cross the Jordan. And the prophet stood back and said, we're not going that far with God. We're content with being saved. We're content with sitting in the back pew. Sorry for you guys in the back pew. We don't have pews, so it doesn't apply to you. We're content with just getting by and doing what we have to do. Hey, I'm prophesying, aren't I? I'm up worshiping on stage in the band, aren't I? I'm doing all these things. Remember what Jesus said to people who are like that? Even some of them, not all of them. Get away from me, I never knew you. Sure, you're operating in the gifts because you're saved, but I don't know you. The anointing's not on you. You're not doing that which the heart of my Father wants you to do. So it doesn't mean that you can sing and dance and prophesy and do and operate in all the gifts. God wants you. He wants everything about you. He loves you, your sons and daughters. He wants to make the most of you, and He wants you to walk out your divine inheritance and your calling. So in order to do that, you got to cross the Jordan. You got to visit those three places. You got to develop your walk, and then you got to walk through the midst of the Jordan River. Get to the other side. So that's where we are. We're going to continue to discuss this crossing the Jordan, where the anointing is available. Listen to me. In the Old Testament, that anointing and that Holy Spirit came on what? Certain prophets. Certain people that God used to speak to the nation of Israel. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil that was in front of the Holy of Holies that only the priest could go behind, the one priest could go behind, was torn down the middle. And what it represented was that all of us as believers now have access to the very throne of God. The ear of God, if you will. The Ark of the Covenant, where God resided, His presence. We're allowed into the presence of God through prayer, through fellowship, through reading the Word. God speaks to us in the convenience stores like we were talked about. All of these places, if you'll open your ears. You're not going to see Him visibly because, again, that realm is not available to us yet. But it will be one day. Cross the Jordan, it's available. This anointing, this powerful move of God is available to everyone who, like Elisha, has gone through the process of maturation. You're not just going to get saved, think you're going to come to church every Sunday and that's going to be that's all you need. You got to go further. If you try to enter the promised land without going through God's growing process, you'll just end up roaming around aimlessly in that desert like Israel did. Remember? Always looking for the next miracle. Always looking for church. Always looking for another anointed ministry to receive healing, deliverance, and spirit-led experiences. How many of you know people like that? Jumping from church to conference. Oh, we heard the Holy Spirit's moving here. Woo, there's a lot of altar activity in this church. Oh, how come our church doesn't have as much altar activity or going through that stuff? Because you're not involved. It's right here. It's within you. And it's the combination of all of us going deeper with God that will produce that kind of experience if you're in the Antarctic or in your closet. That's right. But people are searching out these experiences. That's what Israel did. They wandered in the desert. They wouldn't cross the Jordan because they wanted God to continue to give them miracle after miracle after miracle. But when you grow up and you're mature in Christ, you don't need all those miracles. You are the miracle. You're the one producing the miracles. And maybe you won't get them because God wants to keep you humble so that He'll be exalted. Joshua 5, 11 and 12. Stop wandering. Plant yourself right before the Lord. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna. As soon as they crossed the Jordan, what happened to the Israelites? The manna ceased on the day that they had eaten some of the produce of the land. They had tasted of the anointing. They had walked across and realized that this new land, that the old way of life was gone. And it says, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna. God wasn't just going to open up the Red Sea for them anymore. He wasn't going to throw down manna anymore. He said, you're growing now. You're mature. Speak the word yourself. Go after a plant seed in the ground. Produce fruit. Grow and mature. You be my spokespeople. You be me on earth. Amen. Quit looking for me to do everything for you. And we wonder why we don't see as many miracles. Right. Because we're waiting on God to do them. And He's going, I'm waiting on you to do them. Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. Wow. How does that translate? The daily provision of manna from God was to simply get them through the wilderness. Hello? past their initial salvation experience, if you will. This manna was miraculously produced, like many other of God's provisions for them, during their maturation process, during their growth process. But God was saying in Joshua 5, 11 and 12 here that there's something even better, listen, something even better than miraculously produced manna. Exhibitions of His power, if you will. Those were exhibitions of God's power. And they were in awe. God says, you like that? There's something better on the other side of the Jordan. You're experiencing all these things out here where you've been in bondage all your life. When you cross that Jordan, I'm telling you, there's something better than that daily manna I have been providing for you. Spiritually speaking, He's referring to holiness. There's something better than waiting on God's next miracle. It's realizing that you're a son and daughter of the Most High God and you have an inheritance and that He's placed the Holy Spirit within you and you have a purpose and now He wants you to go through personal holiness. Why? Because He is holy. Lovingly walking in God's ways, if you will, and yielding to His Holy Spirit within you. You want to name it differently. Lovingly walking in God's ways and yielding to His Holy Spirit within you, not yielding to the world around you. It's not your world. Satan owns this thing right now. Jesus has got the keys back. We've got the authority. We're ambassadors from heaven. We can have control, kind of like with Israel, right? Israel owns the West Bank. They own Jerusalem, right? But they're letting the Palestinians live there and they want to kill them. Palestinians don't want anything to do with them. They want them wiped out. They say it in their statements. We want Israel and Christianity wiped off the map so that Islam will rule. But Israel stands there in the midst of that, having complete and sovereign authority over that land, no matter what the world says. Think about that. That's our position in this earth. Satan's under our feet, spiritually speaking. He's having a heyday with the world, but you're not of the world. I'm preaching a whole other subject. Stop. Get back on track. Lovingly walking in God's ways and yielding to His Holy Spirit that resides within you. Authority and power will follow in time. Did you hear me? The miraculous, the authority, the power, the things that you long for and you're not getting anymore and you're wondering where God is will follow as you grow and mature and get that beard grown in maturity. And God can trust you. And you're intimate with Him, and you're getting revelation from Him, so that He says, go to that supermarket, you go to the supermarket.
That's right.
When He says, stay home, stay home. When He says, go to Israel, go to Israel. When He says, whatever He says, you're hearing His voice now, because you've gone from, what, Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho? You're not just some casual Christian that says, I want heaven, and that's all I want, and I'm going to sit in the back and wait for the bus. You're somebody that's hungry and thirsty, as Ted said, growing and asking, God, I want more of You, more love, more power. Are we just reading words in a screen, or is that the cry of your heart? Are you not like this woman sitting in the front row who bleeds for Argentina? Argentina? Venezuela. I prophetically speak of Argentina too then. But the bottom line is she's so passionate for her family and her friends and that country to come back and be with God, that she's willing to sacrifice and get on her knees and cry out. And then the Holy Spirit begins to cry out. And God takes those prayers and He says He throws them back to earth with lightning and thunder when the time is right. Hearts have to return. Quit looking for manna in Canaan when God has given you the ability to grow your own corn. In other words, if you didn't get that, in other words, to cultivate and taste of the anointing yourself. Quit chasing it in other churches. Quit chasing it in other ministries. Quit chasing it at all these seminars. Quit chasing it everywhere you go. Grow your own corn. Cultivate the taste of the anointing. Get a feel for what God can do through you. And if it's not the same as somebody else's, praise God. We don't all look the same either. Yesterday's bread won't last, but the anointing will sustain you. Quit looking for and chasing miracles and realize that you are His miracle, as I said. And He will use those who make the decision to walk by faith and not by sight. How and when He pleases. We need to put that in there. We walk by faith and not by sight. How and when He pleases to use you. Here are some of the statements that may be made by people who desire to bypass personal holiness. They want to just go from their salvation experience to heaven without having to have any accountability or any level of growth and maturation or participation, right? But here are some of the statements, again, that may be made by people who want to bypass that and expect to experience nonstop miracles, whether in the wilderness or Canaan. See, these people just want the miracles to keep coming wherever they are, whether they're sitting in the promised land in church or out in on the street. How about this one? I'm going over there because things are really happening at the altar in their church. I'm going over there because the fire is falling in all of their meetings. I'm going over there because revival's broken out and the Spirit is really moving. That's exciting, isn't it? I want you to think about it. Read Joshua 5:11 and 12 again. They ate some of the produce of the land, of uncakes and the parched grain. They tasted of the anointing themselves. And then the manna ceased, the miracle ceased, all that other stuff stopped. So they no longer ate manna. But again, the yield of the land of Canaan during that year they ate of. They were able to not have to worry about chasing all this stuff. They weren't worried about whether it was going on in another church. They realized that that very anointing was possible and capable within them. You can't be sustained by someone else's faith. All of the things that you watch from afar are going to fade away till you can grow your own corn. The inner real experience that will come from that is not from you sitting back and watching it and hoping you walk up to the altar and then boom, they get you, you go down, and hey, I came back with some of that. That won't last if it's not yours and you've not cultivated it. It's going to be used up like carbohydrates in your body. You see the same people going from what? Place to place, up at the same altar, getting that same feeling, and going back and having to go back for more and more. When the anointing, when it's sustained in you, will last forever. Folks, eat from the yield of your own land, what you have cultivated. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law, this Bible we have, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. That's a strong statement to make. Day and night? You mean I got to sit in front of this thing all day and all night, Pastor Scott, in order to get it? No. You know that. Part of your day may be reading the Word. Part of your day may be in prayer. Part of your day may be making a living for your family. Part of your day. But your focus needs to be God. He needs to be your number one priority. Because if He's not, whatever you've made your God, whatever you've made your number one priority, will consume you, will take over, whether it's family care, child care, this care, any care, whatever care. None of it's wrong, none of it's bad, but if you want the kind of life that the Bible's talking about, God will take care of all those other things if you seek first the kingdom of God. And His, which means you got to live holy. Which means you got to yield, which means you got to listen, which means you got to do. Faith without works is dead. It's not just about coming to Christ by faith and everybody's happy and we all come to church and have our cup of coffee and we hear messages on grace and faith. I love those. I'll preach on those because it's very important. But folks, for those of you that have been here long enough, you're 17 years old in this church. I'm not going to give you spiritual milk. I'm not going to go over the things that should be grace and faith and, you know, the laying on of hands and all those things. That should be part of your lifestyle backwards and forwards. It should be almost boring to you to hear about it. No offense, God. But Paul said, come on, move on. We got work to do. Time is short. Yeah. Jesus is coming back. I need anointed people walking in the power of God. I don't need people still sitting there waiting, wondering, am I really still saved? Well, you know what I'm talking about. We got to grow. John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. That's important. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself either unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. He's telling you, you're not going to do this out on a limb. Now, of course, if you decide to jump from Gilgal, your salvation experience, to Canaan without going through this maturation process that God told Joshua to follow and Jesus, again, told us to follow, you'll become like the sons of the prophets. We call them the religious, who watch the anointing from afar. They watch that anointing flow from afar. Some might even deny its power. Remember we read that in the Bible? Some might even deny the power that's available today. Well, though miracles no longer exist. The apostle and the prophet, they died with the apostles. They did? How come there's 80 mentions of other apostles since them in the Bible? How come apostle means sent one, and when people birth churches and become authority over those churches, they're called apostles? How come? Well, you start denying the power and the church government and all the things that God has in His Bible. You start saying that, you know, women have no role and they got to sit down and shut up because Paul mentioned a few times when the women got out of hand on that and stuff like that. Instead of going back and reading Genesis all the way to Revelation and realizing, yes, they come under the submission and the authority of their head, but that doesn't mean that they're supposed to be dark, quiet. Otherwise, we wouldn't have prophetesses. What are prophetesses for? To speak forth. If you tell them to shut up, how can you prophesy? And then there would be, you know, prophetesses. No prophetesses. So we can't misinterpret Scripture. We've got to study Scripture. We've got to eat it. We've got to digest it. And then we've got to pray about it and throw out the bones. You know, we're not all going to agree on every single subject, but so what? I don't agree with everything my wife does, and she doesn't agree with everything that I do. But we get along because we have one central purpose in life, to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and to love each other and all the rest of the brethren with a passion. If you do those two things, everything else will take care of itself. Start cultivating and growing the corn of the land. Start sowing seed. Start plowing the ground. Don't wander as nomads, dependent on displays of the miraculous. Eat the corn of the land that God has placed you in. Let me finish this up. So here's where you can build a supply that can last a lifetime. What am I talking about? When you cross the Jordan, when you've gone and followed this process, you can build a supply that'll last you a lifetime, not the temporary which rots at the end of the day. Not those little holy spurts that you get from places that are, quote, having an experience. Holiness, listen, holiness is better than temporary miracles. God would rather have your obedience than your sacrifice. Than you receiving a miracle, He'd rather you be the miracle. Holiness pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, faith isn't faith just believing? No, faith isn't believing. It's believing it and then stepping out in it. It's doing what faith has called you to do. Remember, we're talking about maturity. We're talking about growing up in God, crossing the Jordan, if you will, moving beyond the need for God to prove Himself to you. You need to know Him. That's when the anointing will really begin to flow in and through you. The anointing is more than a feeling or where you can get your next holy spurt or charge from. That only indicates that you're just one breath away from empty. If you got to go for that holy charge, that holy spurt, that means you're running on empty, folks, or just about. Because if you had a full tank, you'd be the one out there people were running to. God says, plow the ground. Plant the seed of the Word in you. Grow your gifts. Develop your spiritual life. Quit looking for displays of the unusual. Don't base your life on this kind of miracle or that kind of miracle. You're not in the wilderness anymore. A baby Christian, if you will. You're in Canaan now. Holiness should be your aim, not stargazing. Become a mature son and a mature daughter and value the character of God greater than you do His wonders. Last scripture, Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, and He's talking to all of us, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles and the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everybody who partakes only of milk stays back there at Gilgal or Bethel or Jericho, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. Wow. But solid food is for the mature And because of practice, and I mean practice every day, it takes work for me to get in front of this thing, Ted, every day. It takes work for me to get in the prayer closet every day. It takes work for me sometimes to get here on Sundays, and I'm the pastor. It does, because the world is pulling us. There's so many things that are on our mind away from what's holy. And it's pulling us into the profane. We see it on TV and we see it all over the internet. And I hate to say it, but in all the Google and Facebook and all whatever Google eyes are out there, I don't know what they are. And they're not bad things. They help us navigate through life. Well, let me tell you something. I'd rather navigate through life with this right here than any pad that's sitting in front of me where I got to put my fingers in there and trust on my own hand doing the work and somebody else's knowledge. I know the one who has it all. Let's grow together, folks. Solid food and discern what's good and evil. And quit chasing the elementary things of life.